Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your help tonight, Lord. You are so faithful, Lord, that you always, always speak to us. Lord, we just turn a hearing ear to you, and we pray, Father, that by your Spirit, and through your word, Lord, that each one would receive tonight. Father, that we won't leave the same, and that you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Leadership lessons from Barnabas. I told my wife earlier today I was going to share about Barnabas, and she was thinking Barabbas. And I was like, well, yeah, that would be a hard leadership lesson. But anyway, we've talked about a lot of great leaders over the last several years, and great leaders from the scripture, amen. And it had a lot of these that were just simply titled Leadership Lessons From. And almost always it's been a name that everybody knows. At least if you've been in church very long, everybody knows that name, right? And they're names that are in the scriptures over and over and over again. People like the Apostle Paul, what a great impact he has had on the world. But what about the guy who mentored the Apostle Paul? What about that guy? We're going to look at a great leader that's not talked about much, but he had some great leadership qualities, and he had a huge impact on the early church. So what can we learn from this Barnabas? I almost said Barabbas. You've got me. All right. If I say Barabbas, y'all know who I'm talking about, though, right? We're talking about Barnabas. The first mention of him in Scripture is found in Acts chapter 4. We're going to read verses 36 and 37. It says, and Joseph, well, it wasn't even his name, was it? And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's the first thing you need to know about Barnabas is that he was all in. This guy was 100% in. That's a real sacrifice. He sells this land and he just brings the proceeds of the land and gives it to the church. It's not really about money, but it certainly makes a point. I want to remind you, though, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, going by what Jesus said, if somebody doesn't support the church, they don't care about the church. Y'all real quiet on me. I mean, if you give to the Lord through the church, you should be saying amen right there. But I'm going to say it again. According to what Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If somebody doesn't support the church, they don't care about the church. And that's amazing to me because Jesus loves the church. But here's what I want to really get at, though, is that this guy, Barnabas, he was all in. This early church that's just beginning, just right here at the very beginning of the church, struggling and kicked out of their homes and families, all kinds of things were happening to them. But this guy steps up, sells his land and gives the money to the church. He's all in. By the way, just food for thought, you realize most Americans spend more on dog food than they give to the church? Anyway, moving along. Barnabas was one of those people that was ready to do whatever needed to be done. See, a lot of people talk about doing something for God, and yet they end up doing nothing. And I'm telling you, if we're really going to lead, we got to be all in. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't just lead when it's convenient or when it's easy. Remember, Jesus said if you're going to be one of his disciples that you got to count the cost. There's a cost. But you know what? A lot of people, when it comes down to the cost, they say, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know it was going to be any cost involved. I didn't know it was going to cost me time. I didn't know it was going to cost me some of my leisure time, or I didn't know it was going to cost me effort and energy. And you know, I got enough busy going on in my life. I don't need anything else. But I'm telling you, if you're going to do much for God, again, according to Jesus, it's going to cost you. If you really want to reach people that don't know the Lord, if you want to lead your own children, you need to be all in. You can't be wishy-washy. No, you got to be there, and you got to be all in. Barnabas saw the good in others. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. But before we read this passage, I just want to make sure, I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows this. When we read here where it talks about Saul, that is the same person as the Apostle Paul. It is later in Acts chapter 13 where he is first called Paul. But when we read here, Saul, it is the same man. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples." You see, this is after his conversion. So he tries to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and what he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This Saul had been persecuting Christians. Then he has this life-changing experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus. But the Bible tells us that the disciples didn't believe it. They were skeptical, and rightfully so. I mean, they just, you know, they knew the stories. They knew what this guy had been doing just a very short time, probably just a few weeks before. And now he shows up and he says, "Oh, I'm one of you. I'm a disciple. I had an experience with the Lord, and I'm following Jesus now." Well, they didn't believe it. They thought it was some kind of a trick. And here he's come back to the very place where he had persecuted people, and he had stood by as Stephen was stoned to death. They were afraid of him. And you know, it's easy for us, but if we could put ourselves in their shoes, how would we have felt? Then Barnabas comes along, and he takes him to the apostles. Barnabas stands up for him. I just have to wonder, what would have happened if there hadn't have been a Barnabas to say, "No, wait a minute, he's with me." I mean, when nobody believed him, and everybody's afraid of him, and nobody would trust him. But here this guy, Barnabas, stands up for him and says, "He's with me." Barnabas saw the good in him. It's easy to see the bad. I think this was a pattern for Barnabas, that it was just the way he was, that he saw the best in people. Barnabas was willing to look past Paul's past. I want to tell you something. If you're going to lead people, you got to see the best in people. You got to be willing to look past their past. You can't help people if you are skeptical and cynical and you think that they have ulterior motives. And I'm telling you, if you're going to help somebody, you're going to have to find the good in them. I wonder how many people God could have used mightily, but instead have been discarded by those who couldn't see any good in them. There's a lot of people that will never amount to anything unless we can see the good in them. You know, we're just so much quicker to see the negatives than the positives. And it's easy to be critical. I mean, for some of us, I think it's just our normal routine that we just, you know, we see what's wrong instead of seeing what's right. But I'm telling you, if you really want to lead people, if you really want to influence people, if you really want to help people, then you need to be able to find the good in them. You need to look for the potential in them. And I know that there is none that's good but God alone. I'm not talking about people being intrinsically good. I'm talking about that good in them, that potential in them to be who God has created them to be. And it's so easy for us to always just see the sin and just see the past and the wrong. And we think, oh, the Apostle Paul, those silly Christians not believing him. Did you know, if we had somebody who was a known drug dealer, a criminal in our community, and they come to our church and said, but I got saved, God has turned my life around, most people would say, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm just telling you, we need to see the good in people. People need a friend like Barnabas who's willing to reach out to them, who's willing to say, he's with me. She's with me. You know what? There might be some people who would go to church, but they're just afraid to show up at church and not have somebody to say, he's with me. She's with me. They're afraid the roof will cave in if they come. But if you bring them and you say, they're with me. A lot of people need somebody to see the good in them. You know, we've all heard that saying, behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. No, that's not the way it goes, is it? Is a good woman. Amen. There's a wife who believes in the good in him. And I'm just telling you, you see, whether it's our spouse or not, we all need people who see the good in us and encourage us. I remember years ago, my wife said to me, she said, I see greatness in you. Well, we're still waiting to see that. It haunts me because I'm like, Lord, I don't see that yet. We'll have to see that with eyes of faith. But here's the point. We need that. We need to see the best in others. Acts chapter 11 tells us that a lot of people got saved at Antioch. That's where they were first called Christians. And so the church sends Barnabas to check it out. He was ready to go because he's all in, right? Acts chapter 11, we're going to read 22 and 24 through 24. It says, then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. Now, earlier, we read that Barnabas was a Levite. He's a conservative Jewish man. And you know what? He could have come to Antioch and been really critical of these people. I mean, he could have said, hey, what's going on here? I mean, these young people, they're not dressed right. And music, what's up with this wild music? Well, that's just way too loud. That's not worshipful. That's not the way we do it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He could have found fault. He could have looked at the situation and just seen everything that was wrong. Because I can assure you that for this Jewish man, this Levite, the church of Antioch was totally different than what he was used to. But you know what he saw? He didn't see all the things that he could find that were wrong. He saw, what did it say? It's right there in the verse. Well, when he came and he had seen the grace of God. You see, that's how you see the good in others. It's with the grace of God. You see God working in their life in spite of them. This is the way Barnabas was. He saw with the grace of God. And he was glad. Let me tell you something about people who see the best in others. They're happy people. And people who are critical and fault finders and only see what's wrong with others, they're almost always unhappy. Got a scowl on their face. Nobody wants to follow an old sourpuss with a scowl on your face and mad and grumpy at the world and fault finding. You can't lead anybody that way. He was glad. He saw what God was doing, and he was glad, and he encouraged them that they should continue with the Lord. Notice in verse 23, Barnabas encouraged them. He encouraged others. We read back in Acts chapter 4 that his name was actually Joseph, but the apostles named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, that's pretty cool when the apostles say, hey, we're not calling you Joseph, we're going to call you son of encouragement. Because to them, a name meant something. And so this was who this guy was. He was an encourager. Now, for some of us, this might be a scary thought. But if people were going to name us something that described us, what would they name us? Let me ask you this way. What would you want them to name you? How about if the choices were encourager or discourager? So they get ready to send somebody down to Antioch to check it out down there. And who do they send? They send Mr. Encourager. People, you need to be an encourager. I think sometimes when we want to help someone grow and develop and we want to see them, you know, head in the right direction, we think that we can get them there by telling them everything they're doing wrong. And I understand the idea behind it. I understand the thought process there. Been there, done that. But what works so much better is to tell them what they're doing right, to encourage them, to put courage in, to add strength to them, not to discourage. So, are you the person who tells others what they're doing well, or do you just tell them what they're doing wrong? Do you tell them when you like what they did, or do you only say something when you don't like it? Our former pastor of 50 years, Brother Harold Nichols, was a great encourager. You never discourage anybody. Like the old song, never a discouraging word. I'm just telling you, he wouldn't discourage anybody. Wouldn't tell you what you're doing wrong. But he'd tell you what you're doing right. And he'd say something positive to you to make you feel good. And let me tell you something. When you encourage people, you see, It wins influence. And I'm not talking about being manipulative. I'm talking about helping people. When you encourage people, they want to follow you. They want to be around you. Nobody wants to be around a discourager, a put down. No, people want to be around a person who helps them, that builds them up, that lifts them up. If you want to influence people, you want to lead people, encourage people. It's what Barnabas did. Worked for him. Now, he had a pretty good resume, if you were to put it that way, because not only was the Church of Antioch on that list, but the Apostle Paul is on that list of somebody that he helped along the way. And I never thought of the Apostle Paul as being the kind of personality or temperament that needed somebody to encourage him. But I know that it wasn't by accident that God hooked him up with this man as a mentor. And by the way, if you haven't ever seen that in the scripture, I just encourage you to read Acts, beginning from Acts chapter 9, and just read for about 8 or 9 chapters and see what happens. But human nature is to always gripe and complain. But I'm telling you, it's very spiritual to encourage and to build up. Ephesians 4:29 in the NIV, it says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up." Only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another daily." That's what we're supposed to be doing. And yet, it seems like a lot of the time the body of Christ sounds a lot like the world. Just complaining, griping, fault finding. You know, earlier in the service, I took 10 seconds to just encourage and thank our worship team. But you know what? We need to be doing that all the time with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, if you go to the nursery or children's class to pick up your child, you need to thank those workers. You need to let them know how much you appreciate them. Oh my goodness. I, as the pastor, I need to go thank those people. I'm telling you how much we need them. And not just need, but they do a great job. Not average, they do a great job. We need to encourage them. We don't want them getting discouraged. And you know what? Sometimes when you work in an area like that, or, you know, I hear this, a lot of times teachers, we have a lot of teachers and people that teach in public school. You know, the only thing they hear is when somebody doesn't like something, when they want to say you did something wrong. See, that's the culture we live in. But if we want to lead people and help people, then we got to be the encourager. People like to be around somebody that encourages. In Acts 11:24, the scripture said, "A great many people were added to the Lord." See, when you see the good in others and you encourage others, that's leadership. That's great influence. Barnabas developed others. You know what? That should be what leadership is all about. It's about helping others become all that they can be. Andrew Carnegie said, "No man can become rich without himself enriching others." He lived this philosophy as evidenced by the 43 millionaires he had working with him. Can you imagine? A reporter interviewing Mr. Carnegie asked him how he was able to develop these men to become so valuable, how he was able to pay them so much that they became millionaires. And Mr. Carnegie replied, "You develop people in the same way you mine for gold. When you mine for gold, you must literally move tons of dirt to find a single ounce of gold. However, you do not look for the dirt, you look for the gold." What's he talking about? Developing people. You don't look for the dirt. You look for the gold. You look for the good. You find what's right. He's talking about 43 millionaires that worked for him. He said, this is how you find these people. You look for the gold. I'm just wondering how many great Christian leaders are out there, people maybe like the Apostle Paul, who are going to have a great impact on our world, but they need a Barnabas. To see the good in them and to encourage them and to mentor them, to help them develop. Barnabas did it so well. Acts 11, 25 and 26, it says, Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here, Barnabas is there at Antioch and having a good time of ministry. Many people were being added. But he leaves and he goes and he finds Saul. Brings him back. Keeps him there with him for a whole year. The mentoring is continuing. He is helping this man develop into who God wants him to be. Now, over the next several chapters in the book of Acts, it's Barnabas and Saul being sent out by the church. Barnabas and Saul doing missionary work. Barnabas and Saul. Then in the middle of Acts chapter 13, there's something that happens. God uses Saul mightily. And it is at that point that he begins to go by the name Paul. And it's no longer Barnabas and Saul. See, it's been the teacher and the student, Barnabas and Saul. But now it's Paul and Barnabas. And here's the amazing thing. There was no rift. Barnabas didn't have a problem with it. He wasn't protecting his territory. He wasn't on some kind of a power trip. It wasn't about him. It was about the kingdom. It was about the church. It was about what God wanted to do. Reminds me of Brother Nichols again, because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Brother Nichols was pastor to a lot of great men of God. He was their Barnabas. He was their encourager. He was the man behind the scenes that was there for them to encourage them when nobody else did. And I just want to tell you, your kids, your grandkids, everybody needs an encourager to see the good in them. You want to influence? You want to be a leader? I'm telling you how. Be an encourager. See the good. Talk about the good. Barnabas was a true servant. His passion was seeing people come to the Lord, seeing the kingdom grow, seeing the church grow. And it didn't matter to him if he got first billing or if Paul did. The important thing was is that the work was being done. Now, I want to give you one more example of Barnabas seeing the good in others and helping them develop. I'm going to look at Acts chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 36 through 41. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Barnabas wants to take his young helper, Mark, but Paul refused because, for whatever reason, Mark had deserted or had left them on a previous trip. And so here Paul, this man who'd been shown such grace and for his past, yet for whatever reason, he just had a hard time with this young man, Mark, and didn't want him along. And so Barnabas, this is where him and Paul part company, because Barnabas was not going to give up on this young man. Now, we know that this worked out really good because Mark didn't just become a nobody, but instead, in fact, he became somebody that was valuable even to the Apostle Paul. How do you know that? Well, because Paul says so in 2 Timothy 4:11. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." And I'm just telling you that Barnabas made the difference in this young man's life. He could have been discarded. Well, he messed up. He blew it. Know anybody like that? Well, pretty much everybody. But this guy saw the good in him, and he wasn't going to let him go, wasn't going to give up on him. He said, "No, I'm not leaving him. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to take him with me." And later, even the Apostle Paul says, "Get Mark and bring him. He's useful to me." Now, in case you haven't connected the dots here, this Mark, according to history, it's not stated specifically in Scripture, but according to historical evidence, this John Mark is the same Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. You think he might be pretty important? And who was the guy that saw the good in him and didn't give up on him but said, "No, I'm going to take him with me"? Barnabas. I'm just telling you, but whoever you want to impact, whether it's your own child, a co-worker, brother and sister in the Lord, whoever you want to influence, see the good in them. Encourage them and help develop them. And sometimes, like Barnabas, you get to see them go on further. You get to see them surpass you. You get to see them do things that you personally couldn't do, but you get to see them go on much further. What an exciting thing when God takes them on and uses them in ways that maybe you couldn't have been used. I want to close with this tonight. Leadership really is about others. I say it a lot, but you see, in our culture, the world, leadership is about the leader. It's all about their personality and their ability and their gifts, but not in the kingdom. It's never about the leader. It's always about those that we serve. And Barnabas got that. He was an enabler. Now, we use that in a real negative, derogatory way in our culture today. We say somebody's an enabler. We're saying, oh, well, they're enabling somebody's bad habits or bad lifestyle. But Barnabas was an enabler. He helped people fulfill their calling. He helped them develop into who God wanted them to be. Oh, I tell you, what a great leader he was. Most people don't even know who Barnabas was, but they sure do know who the Apostle Paul was, and they sure do know who the gospel writer Mark was, don't they? Amen. What if it was just that simple, that you see the good in others, you encourage them, and you help them develop into who God wants them to be? I just encourage you, try that on out on your kids. Amen. Just start using that on your kids. Start tonight. Do it in the morning when you let them off for school or you send them out the door for school. Instead of telling them don't do this and don't do that and you better do this, how about instead you just encourage them that they're the light of the world and they're going to have a good day today because God is with them and they're going to help somebody along their way. You encourage your children. Put courage into them. I'm going to let you go because it's 8:35. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for these leaders here tonight. And I pray, Father, as we go from this place, Lord, that we're going to have an impact because you use us. Use us, Lord, to help somebody else along their way. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you. I love you.